Welcome to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3 The Buzz. Jamie Kyle, Arnold Tarpley, Scott Webb, spinning some good tunes today.
Are you ready?
I don't think we have anything else to talk about NASCAR-wise today because Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie getting a divorce. I mean, aren't we supposed to talk about that for an hour?
Welcome to Mix in the Afternoon.
Oh, man. That was good.
Jamie, Scott, and Arnold. Taking you home on your drive home.
What do you think
about that? A little AC/DC for you.
It is good. Had a great weekend. You know, Chicago was what Chicago normally is. It's some pretty good racing. The storylines were kind of good. You know, being the first race of the chase, you didn't know what it was going to look like with a bunch of, you know, a couple of new drivers in the chase or whatever. But then also you had to think about stupid laser inspection thing at the end of the race.
Let's see. Wait a second. Let me look at the clock. It took a minute 20 for you to bring up penalties after the race.
Right.
That's Arnold, I lost that bet, buddy. Sorry.
And we didn't even have penalties yet. I mean, we're sitting here waiting on penalties to be sent out because that's what they do, and they haven't done it. But anyway, I digress. We'll talk about that second segment. Maybe they'll have something by then if they decide to do it, or they'll change the rule book again, whichever one they want to do.
Well, listen, all the above is possible.
Exactly.
We're dealing with NASCAR.
And remember, it's loose leaf and written in pencil.
Well, there's not even one. That's the thing. They have to go
through and make somewhere.
Up. No, they go through and section G104.3.
They should do like, that should be like a Hollywood movie.
It should be. NASCAR rulebook.
Yeah. Where's the NASCAR rulebook?
That would be great. Well, you wouldn't find it. I mean, like I said, when the White House will publish whatever they publish, then, you know, NASCAR can't do that. Then it's kind of bad. So, anyway, let's go to the race. We had a pretty good race. I mean, if you think about it, a couple of difficult times for some of these drivers. You know, I keep going back to Alex Hayden last week mentioning that, you know, we were asking him who would be in the final four or whatever, who would be in the at the end of the, you know, when they race in Miami. And he said Jimmy Johnson when we were thinking about a Toyota driver.
I know. I almost fell out of my chair when he said that.
Right. And if you looked at it, Scott, the first of the race, and even through the middle of the race, Jimmy Johnson really had the field covered.
And this is something. I saw Alex. But I did see Alex's point. The car, they have had more speed. Chase Elliott's been terrific the last 5-6 weeks. So you know that they're starting to get a little momentum in that organization. You know how good this team has been in this chase setup since they've been doing the chase, you know, with six championships or whatever it is that he has. So it was not surprising, but you can't make a mental mistake like he made, and that's the un-Jimmy Johnson like thing that happened on Sunday. Everything else was like it's the normal script. They come out there and all of a sudden they've been stagnant for, you know, 6-8 weeks and come out there and one of the best cars on the track, but, you know, Jimmy made a mistake late in that race.
You know, here's the thing of it is, we've talked about Hendricks, the entire organization being off, and because of Jimmy's mistake, he wound up 12th. If he doesn't make a mistake, all four cars are top 10.
Yeah, and that's at a mile and a half track where speed is, you know, speed's crucial everywhere, but in those types of tracks, that's where this team is really, Jimmy Johnson has excelled over the course of his career, mile and a half. So if they're starting to figure out the mile and a half things, then that's good news for Hendricks moving forward.
That is good news for Hendricks moving forward. And Casey Kane, you know, one of the drivers out of Hendrick, and I could say he was probably less or a little more disappointing than Dale Earnhardt Jr., but actually had a really good run and looked like they had found some speed as well. So it was kind of interesting to see the Hendrick cars up front. A lot of the drivers that you thought would be up front didn't really make their way up front until a little later, with Kevin Harvick actually never made it back up to the front. But you saw Martin Truex, of course. You saw the Keselowski. You saw, you know, Joey Logano. Those guys, they always seem to find their way to the front when the chase is on the line.
Well, I mean, those are the guys. Those are the names we talk about every week. I mean, nobody here is surprised that Toyota had four cars in the top nine. No. I mean, that's not earth-shattering breaking news. It's just one of those deals where those guys have had good years. You know, it's Martin Truex seems maybe he's the best, and I think we'll look when we see our power rankings a little bit later. We'll see that reflective in the way he's climbing up our power rankings. So that he maybe he's a little head and shoulders above even the rest of the Gibbs cars right now. But it's not surprising. It's the same names we've seen throughout the year. Obviously, you know, if you're I know if you're a Chase Elliott fan, you've got to be disappointed because, you know, he probably had the best car the last 40, 50 laps of that race and just, you know, caution came out at the absolute worst time. You know, I know he's not a Michael McDonald fan after he blew a tire there late in the race that would prevent him from winning. But the same names. It's the same guys each week going out there and performing well, and to no surprise, Truex was on top when it was all said and done.
It was, and you know, you got to feel bad for Chase Elliott, and you think about all the drivers and waiting for them to get their first win, Arnold, and there's been tons over the years that have got their first win. It always seems like that first win is the most difficult to get, and I guess it's because you put so much pressure on yourself to get it. And for Chase Elliott, he's had a couple of times when he's been up there. He had a bad restart. I think it was at Michigan, maybe.
Michigan.
And, you know, and that, you know, got him out of a win. And then now, you got to think the pressure's mounting on him. Is that pressure from everybody else, or is that pressure that Chase Elliott's putting on himself?
I think it's more pressure that Chase Elliott is putting on himself. Most of the other drivers, when you look at their tweets and comments, is saying, "Hey, Chase, calm down. You're going to get your wins." Everybody sees that. Excuse me. But here's one important thing. He had the lead, and Martin Truex said in his post-race interview that he wasn't going to catch him. He, you know, Chase had the win, and he said, "I know what Chase is going through," and he, you know, very complimentary Chase. And Chase did. He was maintaining that distance all the way through that last 20 laps.
He got into it, he cut into it just a little bit, but for the most part, once it got to about a second and a half, it stayed pretty much the same to the end. And I mean, I was sitting there watching it, and we're all texting each other back and forth, and I'm like, I mean, this dude's going to win. I mean, what a way to start your first chase, to go out there and win the first chase race. But this has been indicative of the way this team has kind of run the last 4 or 5 weeks. They've given themselves opportunities to be in it. Now, results is what ultimately matters, and they've not had some of the results. But it's not because there's not been speed in the car, because, you know, Chase is doing things. He's been in some unfortunate stuff. But this is a team that's starting to build a little momentum, he's going to continue to put yourself in position to win. Guess what? Eventually, you're going to win a race, and once he opens that floodgates, he's probably going to win many.
Yeah, I could see him winning many. And speaking of somebody who's won many and had some fast cars this year and hadn't been able to get them taken care of or get them into victory lane because of his pit crew, Kevin Harvick borrowed, Arnold, a couple of pit members from Danica Patrick. So we know it's Danica that can't drive. It's not her pit crew, right, to go after and get them.
They go and get
a couple of pit crew people from them, have really good pit stops, and then he just can't get the job done.
Well, the thing of it is, he got a lap down through doing his pit as normal. Jimmy Johnson pitted at the same time.
I mean,
and he got across the start-finish line in time. Harvick missed it.
What was it? 3 feet? Maybe.
I don't even think three feet.
You know, and that's what put them up, and they could never get that lap back. You know,
they was fast enough to run with the leaders.
Right. You know, he had a top five car. There's no doubt. Now, the flip side of that is he's in a much, although he is, and we'll look at the point standings here in a little bit, although he's near the bottom of the point standings right now, he's in much better shape than he was when he left this time last year when they wrecked out at Chicago early in the event. So, you know, it's a team that's had speed, been running up front. I'm not fearful that they don't move on, but they can't have two bad weeks in a row like they had last year and put themselves in a position where they have to win. You know, you've got to find a way to get into that top 12 to move forward.
Especially when you think about the fact that, you know, you look at the lineup, you had Truex, Logano, Elliott, Keselowski, and Hamlin. You know, you could go ahead and throw Kyle Busch and Matt Kenseth were in the top 10. With those guys being in the top 10, that's a pretty strong field up at the top 10, especially what you just said about Chase Elliott, Scott. You really have to, in the first two races of a three-race, you know, deal, you've got to figure out or at least run in the top 10 and be consistent, if not get a win, to make sure you stay to a point to where at the end, when it comes down to the end, that you're still there. You know, you think after the third race of this first segment of the chase or whatever, if Harvick has one more bad run, it's going to put him in a position to where he's going to have to win, and that's a lot more pressure not just on Kevin Harvick but his crew chief.
Well, go ahead, Earl.
Oh, it's a huge amount of pressure on him to have to come from that far behind to get into the chase when we know he's got one of the fastest cars week in and week out on the circuit.
Well, and you've got to give yourself, you know, if you look at the top 20, well, of the top 20 from last week's race, 15 of them or 16 of them or 15 of them were guys in the chase. So the best is rising to the top. The cream is rising to the top. So you've got to go out there and find a way. It's hard to make up a lot of points if all of the guys are finishing in the top 15. You can't make up points. So you've got to be able to go out there and be consistent. You don't want to put yourself in a hole. Will we see the same consistency next week at New Hampshire? I don't know. But if there is pressure, and if you can't find a way to beat a bunch of guys on the track, you know, you can be out of this championship run in a hurry in just 3 weeks.
Well, guys, we're not talking about just Kevin Harvick. I mean, if you look at the finishing order, you know, from Chicago, I mean, you got Jimmy Johnson 12th, Kurt Busch 13th, Austin Dillon 14th. You had a whole plethora of drivers there with Carl Edwards, Tony Stewart, and Kyle Larson finishing out the top 20, and then Kevin Harvick comes in. So, you know, we had to expect Chris Buescher probably wasn't going to make it. He was one of those Eric Almirolas, you know, as far as getting in. But, man, he finished 28th. You're done.
Yeah, I mean, it's you put yourself in a very tough position, you know. And Buescher, in his case, you know, their goal, they weren't thinking championship. They were thinking get to the second round. I think they're playing on a different level than the other 15 cars in this championship. So they are, you know, they put themselves in a tough position, but that one surprised nobody. Obviously, Harvick finishing 20th. Kyle Larson, who had just about as fast a car, he had they had to change transmissions Saturday night. He had to start at the rear of the field. He worked his way all the way up. He was running top five. Then they cut a tire, with 10, 15 laps to go. But they did the smart thing. They, instead of risking it and finishing 35th, you know, they went ahead and brought him down, and he finished 18th.
They kept the position they can actually have a chance.
So they can give themselves a chance. So even though Harvick did finish 20th, and it is 15th in points or whatever, and we'll look at the points here in just a few minutes, it's still nobody killed themselves that we didn't think would potentially not be around. So no disasters out there, no finishing 40th this week. It was pretty much the guys that are going to be involved in this chase are there, which makes it's bunched at the top, which means it's going to be important these next 2 weeks, especially if you can get a win and automatically qualify.
Should be very interesting. All right, we did have a winner at this race on Chicago last Sunday, and that was Martin Truex. And as you mentioned before, with the caution coming out late, you knew it seemed like before when Chase had the lead that Martin was catching him, but then it kind of evened out. And you thought if it stayed green, Chase was going to have a chance to win. Then when the caution come out and everybody come down pit road, you had a couple of cars that didn't pit, which put, you know, Chase and Martin in, I think it was row two or row three, to where they had to get by and for the lead or whatever. And so I think, you know, it's almost like, Scott, when you're behind like that, you know, after a caution and you know you're the faster car and you know you've got to get by some people, you hope the guy in front of you gets a better start than the guy beside you.
Right, and some of that is just pure luck. It's where you line up. You know, if Chase Elliott starts on the outside in that final restart, he probably wins the race. I mean, but he gets stuck on the bottom behind Blaney, and I think it was Casey Kane that stayed.
Yeah, there were three cars that stayed out, and he was actually starting behind two, and Truex started behind one.
So, you know, it was just a matter of, you know, Truex won the race off pit road, put himself in position, took advantage, knew if they stayed out there the full two laps in overtime that he would probably find a way to get around those guys, and he did. But you can't. Chase did everything he could. You know, they missed coming out of the pits by about, you know, 5 feet. You know, if they're 5 feet quicker, then we're probably talking about Chase Elliott's first win.
Yeah, which would have been big. All right, Martin Truex gets his first win. He is guaranteed to go to the second round. Let's hear what Martin Truex had to say after his win.
Talk about a team effort from start to finish, and that last pit stop, obviously the clincher. Oh, my goodness. Darlington all over again, right? So I guess racing guys don't want us leading too much. They got to make it difficult on us. But what can I say about everybody? Furnace River Racing, Toyota TRD, Bass Pro Shops, Denver Mattress, Furnace Row. I mean, just everybody that makes this possible. Textron, our friends there, Sprint, the fans. Fans have given us a ton of support, not only over the years, but the last two, and it's definitely helped us. So, just, man, this feels good. It's
Describe the relief. You're done with round one.
Well, we got more races to win, and we can win some. So, just, what can I say? I mean, so many people to thank, and so many people that are responsible for this, and I'm a lucky guy to get to drive this Black 78, and Colburn, Jazzy, everybody on this team, the pit crew, you know, Barney for giving us everything we need. But I thank TRD. Engines were incredible again. Andy Graves, all those guys are doing a heck of a job. Everybody at JGR building chassis and having competition meetings with us and all that good stuff and helping us out. It's been an awesome relationship. So what can I say, man? It's this is the way we want to start it off, and feels awesome.
What were you thinking early on when you had to come to pit road for that tire going down?
Just don't give up. Just keep digging. And there was a long way to go at that point, you know. And I was like, you know, on one hand, it was like, I hear the bad luck's going to bite us again. And on the other, it was like, we got a lot of time to make it up. So we're lucky it happened early. And we were able to have an awesome race car all day and just keep working on it. We, in the middle of the race, we weren't that good. And we got back in traffic and we struggled a bit. And Harvick ran into us and bent our fender, I think, on purpose. And had to come back from that. So all in all, it's just an unbelievable day. And total team effort. That's what it's going to take to win a championship.
Yeah, I mean, and a great run by Martin Truex Jr. That's big for them. You know, we said at the first of the year the 78 team could be strong, and it just shows, you know, first race of the chase, you know,
but
they get it
done. Let me ask you a question. Let me do a little role reversal here. What, you know, are you surprised at how good they are? Because they have really been terrific the second half of this year.
I am not surprised. I'll tell you why. It's because you could kind of see over the last couple of years, even when Kurt Busch was driving the car, heck, go all the way back to Regan Smith. I mean, you knew that car had potential to be able to get it done. Barney Visser has put a lot of money and a lot of effort into making, you know, a good program out there, hence the fact he's got another driver he signed for, you know, this coming year. I read today that Martin Truex took a pay cut to stay there this past year. Yeah. And that, to me, means that, number one, he knows there's a lot of potential there. And, two, he knows he could be part of something big if that thing's going.
And he's comfortable. They took a chance. You know, they came to him once he got released from Michael Waltrip Racing. I think there's something to that, something to being loyal to a team giving you that kind of chance.
And one thing that he also said in one of his interviews this week was that this is the best team I've ever been on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and no, that's a no. There's no doubt about that right now.
So it's crazy. All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, listen, there's breaking news. I like breaking news. Do we have a breaking news thing, Scott? Can we do that? Maybe not while we're playing the music?
Probably not.
Just know there's breaking news strolling across the bottom of the screen of the finish line on Twitter. Right, so NASCAR is having a press conference at 5:30 to announce something about maybe some rules infractions this weekend.
Bunch of cheaters.
Yeah, we'll have a conversation about that when we come back. Make sure you
stay
tuned. Yeah, exactly. You're listening to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3
The Buzz.
Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips, Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. I'm in the business of saving people money. And if you want to save money, pick that cell phone up right now. 805-9100. I received a call that I won't forget. The guy is a Chattanooga police officer who served our great country in the Air Force. A true American hero. Our hero is renting, which costs too much for a space too small. We helped him achieve the American dream. And the best part is this. He purchased a $180,000 home with zero down. His payment is $200 less than what his rent was. And now he has a safe place with more space to raise his family. It's easy, and you can do it too. It just takes 10 minutes and one phone call. 805-9100.
Y'all step back to 1864 and relive the South's finest hour. Witness a moving performance and dig into the greatest Southern recipes direct from the Confederate White House. Loads of fun food and unfiltered Southern history. The Button Willow Civil War Dinner Theater is just minutes from Chattanooga. Y'all got a call for reservations, 658-7478. We're straightening out Yankees one at a time.
Hey folks, Dale from Dale's Heating Air. We all know things work better when they are maintained and serviced on a regular basis. Your car, your yard, even relationships. Well, your heating and air system is no different. When is the last time your heating and air conditioning was serviced? Can't remember? Well, spring is just around the corner, and warm weather will be here soon. What's that mean for your heating and air conditioning system? It means it's time to call Dale's Heating and Air to make sure old man winter didn't take its toll, and your air conditioning is ready to keep your family cool and comfortable this season. When your heating and air conditioning is working at its best, you get the comfort you want, save money, and your system will last longer. Now is the best time to call Dale's Heating and Air to schedule maintenance on your heating and air conditioning system. For service you can trust, just call Dale's. 236-4600. That's 236-4600 or online at justcalldales.com.
Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. We just helped an operations manager retire faster, saving his family $400 per month. Let this story be your story. 805-9100, homeratemortgage.com.
Welcome back to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3 The Buzz. Jamie Kyle, Arnold Tarpley, Scott Webb. Jason Hildebrand hanging out down in Disney World somewhere. Who knows where he's at?
Maybe he's taking hot laps on the kiddie cars.
I would say he's taking hot laps probably around Animal Kingdom right about now. So I'm sure with the daughter Sophie down there, he's...
Yeah, them days are about to come to an end. Yeah. She starts school here before long. No more middle of September trips.
Right. He's trying to plan them right where he doesn't have a lot of people down there. Probably so he could ride a lot of the rides. So,
yeah.
Craziness. All right, so we're waiting right now on the NASCAR press conference that's going to happen at 5:30. So you want to know what kind of brought this up. It's something that's been kind of a thing that I don't like, nor does half of everybody in NASCAR. Scott Webb and Arnold Tarpley might be the only ones that like it, but because two cars failed the laser inspection again. Now you heard from Alex Hayden last week, who said that you're seeing a lot more wiggling of the cars around because it's trying to, especially on the cool down lap, trying to stick it back into where it was before, right? So the tolerance is there and they can pass. Well, to me, all right. Again, I'm going to reiterate. To me, I think if you pass the beginning, there's not much that you can do to the car the way they're set up now, IROC, that is going to make them that much different unless you are the Brad Keselowski jackman or somebody going in and bending out the bottom skirt or something like that in order to get some sort of stuff. But you can see that. So who failed this weekend? That would be your winner, Martin Truex Jr. Now, Arnold, tell me. Last week, I think it was, NASCAR come out and said they were going to do a little something different if you failed the laser tech inspection. Do you remember what that was?
Well, they was talking about a much bigger penalty in points and might take the win away as far as moving to the next round. But apparently at this point, they said that Martin Truex's win was unencumbered, which means he moves on to the next round with the win. Unless they change it today, which is entirely possible.
Scott Webb, please.
What can I do for you, buddy?
I want to hear what you think.
Well, cheating's cheating. If it was where it was supposed to be before the race, then somehow after the race it's not where it was supposed to be, then something caused that. Now, does things happen during a race? Absolutely. Things happen during the race. But does it happen that much due to the events that happen on the race, or does it happen because you're running in the gray area and you're pushing the limit and you may be cheating a little bit?
They all run in the gray area.
That's what the sport has been based on for years. I get that. But you know, if you get caught cheating, you get caught cheating. Does it? You know, I tend to think that it. I don't get as bent out of shape of it about it as you do. But if it's, you know, if you get caught, there should be some repercussion. And what's happened is, I don't know that there's been enough penalty to prevent these guys from doing this.
But you mentioned one thing. This sport has been based on, and I won't say cheating, but really cheating, right? But pushing the limit to try to go faster to be better than somebody else. So if you have such a small tolerance like they do, you know, as far as the tolerance that they let them have at the end of the race with a laser inspection, you're really not, I don't think you're pushing competition. I mean, I like the fact that if you do pass pre-race inspection, your car is legal to run. I mean, one of the last things they say on the radio, the NASCAR director does before they start a race, is, are your drivers prepared to participate in this race? Once that's done and there's a yes and they've passed and they're ready and everything else, to me, you let them go, you let them do what they're going to do or whatever, and that that's what they've done the whole time. You said it out of your mouth.
I know I've said that out of my mouth, but you're giving. Listen, the one thing you don't want to give these guys is license to
do anything.
To do anything.
Well,
where do you draw the line?
Well, where do you draw the line? I mean, I think you can put make it a wider tolerance to where there is some things where some cars may run better at a not so wide, and some cars. I mean, like you said, there's things that happen during the race. It shouldn't all depend on failing.
How much of that is? How much of those things happening are what we're seeing right now? And how much of that is guys doing things to their cars to make them go faster?
Well, what I want to know, Arnold, before you comment, is how much of a difference does this make in horsepower, speed, and the fact that did Martin Truex win because his car was out of tolerance and he tried to wiggle it back in before and didn't get it wiggled in enough?
I heard an extremely good description of what they're doing this week. Before the race, they are jerking the car to the left to get the rear end moved to where they want it, because it's bolted in. So they've got it set to where it'll slide where they want it. After the race, you're seeing them go down the back stretch. Everybody's turning the car to the right to get the rear end back where it's supposed to be. In Martin Truex's case, he didn't quite make it, or he messed up what he had done in the burnouts. But the thing of it is, it's not changing the horsepower.
It's not
changing the aerodynamics.
Then why are they
doing
it?
What is changing is making the car handle better, because it's creating that rear end be out of sync just enough to make it turn easier.
So then, Scott, why is that such a big deal?
Well, I mean, you know, why can you only run so many horsepower? And why can you only run so many tank of gas? I mean, where do you draw the line? You know, if we're going to start, let's just, hey, I mean, not that we make fun of the NASCAR rule book all the time, but why have? Let's just show whoever's can show up with the biggest, fastest car.
But you're going to one. You're going to the extreme of that. You're not thinking of.
But where do you draw the? My question is,
that's not what I get paid to do. That's NASCAR. What they get paid a lot of money to do and get a lot of sponsorships.
Well, they've set rules, and obviously those guys have broken again this week. They've broke rules.
Well, get this. Now NASCAR comes out, and in part of their teleconference, it says they're going to make updates to post-race inspections.
Oh, they're
One thing, you go back in the early days, there was a case where they caught one of the drivers built a perfect 7/8 replica of a Pontiac with the Pontiac horsepower. They were wiping everybody out, but the car was a little bit smaller than regulation.
Right. Well, I mean, Cale Yarborough, Daytona 500, I believe it was, he had a wreck in his Chevrolet, right? And had a show car sitting over at the mall, and he couldn't, that's really good, show car mall, down there. But he had a show car over there and didn't bring a backup car, so he had to go get the show car, which was not a Chevrolet, right?
Yeah.
So in this day and time, that wouldn't have happened. Then it did. What was the big deal about that? I mean, I don't understand. We need to make it to where it's not such on the line. That's what's got NASCAR in trouble right now as far as popularity and stuff like that, because everything is so close together. Widen it out a little bit. And they're not going to penalize Martin Truex or Jimmy Johnson. That irritates me.
We knew that.
So wait a second. What side of the fence are you on? Because you're flopping back and forth over top of it. So
well,
fast,
if you've got rules, again, if you've got rules, do them. All right. So if you say you're going to come out and you're going to penalize somebody if they break, you know, the rules.
All right.
At the end of the race,
I believe. Thank you for making the point I just made.
If not, then don't have them.
What are we arguing about here? You agree with me.
What I'm arguing about, all right, is making sure we widen the variance to make it to where they can do some things. All right, so that's what I want. Either that or don't have them at all. What the other side I'm arguing about, because I'm arguing both sides, is NASCAR.
Is both sides of your mouth getting tired?
Is
because
NASCAR,
you're talking out of both of them.
Listen, NASCAR is sticking to what they say they're going to do. If you're going to do it, and then you say you're going to penalize them, then penalize them.
I agree with the penalty thing. If you break a rule, I mean, you should. I mean, let's go back and look. Ryan Newman is not in this chase because he got caught doing something. And they took away 25 points, and that was essentially what kept him out of the chase. So if you're going to penalize, I think one of the issues I have with NASCAR is consistency. And I know those of you that follow the sport, everybody starts chuckling. He's absolutely right. Yeah. There's no consistency to them. They make rules at the beginning of the year, and this is going to be the package we're going to run. Run that package. If people break those rules, or these guys are smart, if they find a way to stay within those rules and gain an advantage doing something, that's creativity. That's on them. Then NASCAR wants to fix that. Let's fix it at the beginning of the next season. Let's not constantly change rules. That's where I have my issue, is with the inconsistency of what is, and I guess maybe that is NASCAR essentially is inconsistent. But make sure if you're going to have a package of rules, let's stay with that package of rules. If the guys find a way to do something to make their car better, and it fits within their rules, then you can look at it after the season. But let's the flip-flopping and all the changing of the rules is what gets me.
Well, speaking of flip-flopping, let me flip-flop for you again on what they've done. The only penalties now for post-race LIS inspection failures are going to be on the penalty 4. They're taking out penalty 2 and penalty 3, so that's going against what they said at the beginning of the year and flip-flopping again. So you don't know.
So essentially, NASCAR is being inconsistent with what they're doing.
You know when they made
very consistent for NASCAR.
Yeah, which is it's consistently what they do.
And they made that decision coming out of Chicago. So when you've got the 78 that wins and you've got the 48 that could get penalized and put out of the chase, we need to make a decision to change something so that we don't have to do that. Therefore, P2 and P3 are out. So, I don't know how to. It just irritates me. Anyway, maybe
do
I
we need
stop
to take a break
Twitter.
And so you can yeah.
We probably do. All right, let's take a break. You're listening to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3
The Buzz.
Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips, Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. I'm in the business of saving people money. And if you want to save money, pick that cell phone up right now. 805-9100. I received a call that I won't forget. The guy is a Chattanooga police officer who served our great country in the Air Force. A true American hero. Our hero is renting, which costs too much for a space too small. We helped him achieve the American dream. And the best part is this. He purchased a $180,000 home with zero down. His payment is $200 less than what his rent was. And now he has a safe place with more space to raise his family. It's easy, and you can do it too. It just takes 10 minutes and one phone call. 805-9100.
Y'all step back to 1864 and relive the South's finest hour. Witness a moving performance and dig into the greatest Southern recipes direct from the Confederate White House. Loads of fun food and unfiltered Southern history. The Button Willow Civil War Dinner Theater is just minutes from Chattanooga. Y'all got a call for reservations, 658-7478. We're straightening out Yankees one at a time.
Hey folks, Dale from Dale's Heating Air. We all know things work better when they are maintained and serviced on a regular basis. Your car, your yard, even relationships. Well, your heating and air system is no different. When is the last time your heating and air conditioning was serviced? Can't remember? Well, spring is just around the corner, and warm weather will be here soon. What's that mean for your heating and air conditioning system? It means it's time to call Dale's Heating and Air to make sure old man winter didn't take its toll, and your air conditioning is ready to keep your family cool and comfortable this season. When your heating and air conditioning is working at its best, you get the comfort you want, save money, and your system will last longer. Now is the best time to call Dale's Heating and Air to schedule maintenance on your heating and air conditioning system. For service you can trust, just call Dale's. 236-4600. That's 236-4600 or online at justcalldales.com.
Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. We just helped an operations manager retire faster, saving his family $400 per month. Let this story be your story. 805-9100, homeratemortgage.com.
Ricky Craven, not my favorite person right now. This is The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3 The Buzz. Jamie Kyle, Arnold Tarpley, Scott Webb.
That NASCAR driving you NASCAR, a little crazy
yeah.
right now, isn't it?
So, yeah. Wow. All right, so I think I've calmed down a little bit. We need to talk about the Chase Grid coming up, because we are full-fledged into it now, Scott. Mm-hmm. This week and last week were our first real Chase Grid. So this Chase Grid is brought to you by – who is it brought to you
by? Wow.
College Press.
There you go.
Taking care of your printing needs so you don't have to. Go to www.cplitho.com. Scott Webb. Or is it Scott Weber? Or should we change it? Because we don't know.
So if I mess this up, do I get to start? Do I get to do it over again and not get penalized for it?
Yeah, I'll give you your penalties back. Not really.
Thanks. Well, our Chase Grid is brought to you by College Press, taking care of your printing needs so you don't have to. Martin Truex Jr. on top of the list. He has a one-point lead, but he is automatically qualified. Now, remember, win a race. If you're a Chase driver and you win a race, you automatically qualify for the next section. So Martin Truex Jr. is into the next round. Brad Keselowski is in second, 1 point back. Kyle Busch, fourth. Denny Hamlin, fifth. No, Kyle Busch, third. Denny Hamlin, fourth. Joey Logano, fifth. Chase Elliott, sixth. Matt Kenseth, seventh. Jimmy Johnson, eighth. Carl Edwards, ninth. Kurt Busch, tenth. Jamie McMurray, 11th. Tony Stewart, 12th. Austin Dillon, 13th. And in the danger area right now, Kevin Harvick, Kyle Larson, and in 16th place, 34 points back, is Chris Buescher. And that is your Chase Grid, brought to you by College Press, taking care of your printing needs so you don't have to.
So, as you notice, no changes in the Chase Grid. Why? Because NASCAR decided not to penalize Jimmy Johnson and Martin Truex Jr. for their laser violations post-race on Sunday. So, we don't have to worry about that anymore, because they are doing away with basically those penalties going forward. Mm. Scott, one thing brought up, and we're going to move on after this, but one thing brought up was do all the other people who broke the rules early in the year get their points
Newman,
and money back?
I bet Ryan Newman would like an explanation right now if that would be possible. Hey, I failed post-race inspection. Can I get those points back?
And that answer would be Arnold?
Probably no.
Exactly. So, a little confused on what's going on there, but they will not. So that is breaking news. Again, you get breaking news on this show before you get it on any other NASCAR show. Why? Because we're on the perfect night of the week, and we have the best show. So that's self-proclaimed best show, right, Webb?
Yeah,
good.
I'm totally in agreement with that statement.
Perfect.
Hey,
if
nobody else is going to, we might as well.
Exactly. So that's what we'll do. I'm sure if my friend Sean Whitfield's listening, he will thoroughly disagree, but that'll be okay.
He'll be laughing at us.
I'll take him to lunch. That's what we'll do. So, all right, we've got New Hampshire coming up this week. New Hampshire's kind of a tough track. It's a fast track, but it's a flat track. So when you're these Chase drivers, and one of the questions I was thinking about talking to you guys about is if you qualify bad, how much does that change the approach you have to the race? I mean, because you talked about it earlier, Scott. If you are back further in the Chase grid, it gets to a point after this race where you've either got to win or you're done, right? So if you have a bad qualifying run, say you qualify 30th, you know, you're in trouble. How does that change your strategy race-wise?
change my strategy. You know, it's you've got to, you know, especially at this track, you know, qualifying is obviously extremely important. I'm trying to stay up to date on Twitter. There's a lot of barking on both sides of the fence right now. Some people are just, you know, clapping their hands and applauding NASCAR. Some people are like, I will make it legal. But to get back to this topic, Loudon is a short race. Okay, it's a short track. It's hard to pass. It's going to be important to qualify well. You've got to have if you qualify back near the rear, you're going to have to take some chances. Maybe it's a two tire stop. Maybe it's a no tire stop. Maybe you gamble and do something to put yourself in position. But for those guys that are in the top eight, top ten, they've got to be careful. You've got to make sure that you're not going to do something that's going to cause you to fall any further behind. If you're in that, you know, be safe. If you're in that safe zone, you're sitting 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th in the points, and you're racing somewhere in that area on the track, you know, you may take things. It may not necessarily be about the win. It's about now. It's about a championship. It's about getting. If you don't think you have the car to win the race, then you've got to put yourself in the best position to qualify and give yourself a chance going into Dover next week.
And Arnold, you really have to take those chances early. You can't wait if you qualify back, because it's a bigger track. I think it's a mile. But the thing is you could get. I mean, it's again one of those things Cedar talks about all the time. If you're starting 30th, everybody's taking the green flag, and you're still in the middle of 3 and 4.
That's exactly right. This is the type of track where qualifying is at premium if you want to stay in the chase. If you get back there in the back, you're in trouble all day. You know, Kevin Harvick got in trouble last weekend because he wound up a lap down. At this track, be real easy to be a lap down real early.
Oh, yeah. So it should be tough. It'll be one of those things where... you know, everybody's going to, so much pressure. That's what you like. So, Scott, a couple things coming out on Twitter now with they'll also address the post-race shenanigans of cars weaving erratically.
I just saw that. That's to me, that, you know, that means that I've done something to my car during the race, or set it up so that I could do something during the race that would make it illegal, and I'm trying to do, you know, listen, I saw Truex cleaning his tires after the race is over. I'm thinking,
no point.
Why are you cleaning your tires now? You're getting ready to burn them up in a burnout. And that's exactly what he was doing. He was trying to get the car back in alignment. And so if the result of this is, A, they're going to inspect all the cars, all the chase cars after the race is over, and, B, they're going to try, if they're going to put the hammer down on some of these guys, yes, it was just off the laser. And you can complain about, they were barely breaking the rules. But if they're going to clean up some of the other stuff that's going on that may be that may affect what's happening in post-race inspection, then this could be a good move for NASCAR. The wishy-washiness of NASCAR is what drives me absolutely nuts. We're gonna do something this week. They could change something again next week. You know, make up your mind. Stick with the rule package. Stick with the rules. And do the season and see what happens, and then make changes. I mean, you don't see Major League Baseball or the NFL just all of a sudden change their rule book. Now, the NFL's pretty aggressive in changing their rule book, but they're not going to change it mid-season unless there's some sort of safety concern. These aren't safety issues we're talking about. These are competition issues we're talking about.
Can you imagine what it's going to be like is after the race is over, you've gone through the entire race, not put a scratch on the car, and everybody's swerving on the cool-down lap,
yeah,
and you got 18-car pileup.
I'm going to come in there, and I'm going to bump you in the left quarter panel because I needed something to get put back into place. Come on now.
And then you get after the race, and you get out in the interview, and you talk about how the guy ticked you off, and that's why you hit him. So, you know, there's a lot of things that can happen with that. This is just it's really turning into kind of a crazy thing, and especially a lot of the comments that you're seeing from, you know, the media members and stuff like that on either side. So it's not us that are the only ones kind of, you know, concerned, or not concerned, but confused about the whole thing. I think NASCAR right now, judging by one comment that one of the vice presidents made, that said that it's something that's not fair, it's hard to understand, and we're going to do our best to rectify that. That tells me you don't know what you had, and you were penalizing and fining people for it, and you didn't even know.
Well, come on. I mean, this is not the most buttoned up organization in the history of sports. So to say that they were doing something wrong, at least they were. I want to say, I'm not trying to make a sexist statement here, but at least they were man enough to step up and take some ownership of what was going on here. But it doesn't change the fact that the part of the problem is the inconsistency of the governing body and them constantly making choices and changes that these guys can't keep up with everything. You know, we were promised 3 years ago the NASCAR rulebook online. Go home and Google that tonight. Go home and Google the NASCAR. If you can find that baby, you know, there's some money to be made because it's still not published. So we don't know what's rules and what's not. So at least the general public. So that is still my biggest issue, and I don't think this helps matters. I think this makes matters worse. I think they have muddied the waters instead of trying to clear up stuff that's going on. But we'll see how it all transpires.
Should be very interesting. All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about our power rankings, plus pick our winner for New Hampshire. I think Cole Pern definitely wants to rock and roll on that now, right? So he stays in the chase. You're listening to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3
The Buzz.
Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips, Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. I'm in the business of saving people money. And if you want to save money, pick that cell phone up right now. 805-9100. I received a call that I won't forget. The guy is a Chattanooga police officer who served our great country in the Air Force. A true American hero. Our hero is renting, which costs too much for a space too small. We helped him achieve the American dream. And the best part is this. He purchased a $180,000 home with zero down. His payment is $200 less than what his rent was. And now he has a safe place with more space to raise his family. It's easy, and you can do it too. It just takes 10 minutes and one phone call. 805-9100. Turn a house into a home.
Y'all step back to 1864 and relive the South's finest hour. Witness a moving performance and dig into the greatest Southern recipes direct from the Confederate White House. Loads of fun, food, and unfiltered Southern history. The Button Willow Civil War Dinner Theater is just minutes from Chattanooga. Y'all got a call for reservations, 658-7478. We're straightening out Yankees one at a time.
Hey folks, Dale from Dale's Heating Air. We all know things work better when they are maintained and serviced on a regular basis. Your car, your yard, even relationships. Well, your heating and air system is no different. When is the last time your heating and air conditioning was serviced? Can't remember? Well, spring is just around the corner and warm weather will be here soon. What's that mean for your heating and air conditioning system? It means it's time to call Dale's Heating and Air to make sure old man winter didn't take his toll. And your air conditioning is ready to keep your family cool and comfortable this season. When your heating and air conditioning is working at its best, you get the comfort you want, save money, and your system will last longer. Now is the best time to call Dale's Heating and Air to schedule maintenance on your heating and air conditioning system. For service you can trust, just call Dale's. 236-4600. That's 236-4600 or online at justcalldales.com.
Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips, Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. We just helped an operations manager retire faster, saving his family $400 per month. Let this story be your story. 805-9100, HomeRateMortgage.com.
Welcome to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3 The Buzz.
The danger zone. That's what it's what's going on in here.
Yes.
The danger zone.
I'm glad I'm over here in the corner.
Yeah, no kidding. We need to move quickly and get to our power rankings for this week, along with who we think is going to win. The guy going around Animal Kingdom down in Disney World, did he send his power rankings? Are these his power rankings?
I have no idea.
Okay.
They must be. Well, I think they're different from last week.
Well, he may have updated. Somebody didn't send me a show rundown today. Had to text it to me.
I did via six text messages, so we got that done. But power rankings for Jason. I'll just go with what he's got. The 4 of Kevin Harvick, the 18 Kyle Busch, 2 of Brad Keselowski, 11 Denny Hamlin, the 78 of Martin Truex, and he has to win Matt DiBenedetto in the NASCAR Heat. NASCAR Heat number 83 Toyota out of the solid, Dr. Pepper people.
Solid pick.
Yes, yeah. Very solid
he
pick.
He runs well at New Hampshire.
Exactly, yeah. He does. All right, 78 for me is Martin Truex, number one, cheater. And then Kevin Harvick, 4, 18, Kyle Busch. And then the 2 of Brad Keselowski. And then the double deuces of Joey Logano. My pick to win, I think everything is going to go right. The driver's going to drive fast. The car is going to be good. And the pit crew is going to make a difference. Kevin, happy. Harvick, everybody will be eating some blooming onions on Monday.
I've got the 4 of Kevin Harvick still number one. I mean, he's still running strong no matter what happened this weekend. The 2 of Brad Keselowski. The 78 of Martin Truex moved up to 3rd. I dropped Kyle Busch and the 18 car down to 4th. And I moved to 24 of Chase Elliott up into my rankings in the 5th place. And I'm taking a long shot. I'm taking the 14 car.
A little sentimental pick there.
It's a definite long shot.
It is. Another big mix-up in my big shake-up in my power rankings this week. As Martin Truex Jr. vaults to the top, he's now sitting. I didn't even have Chase Elliott in my top 5 last week. I moved him all the way up to 2nd. Guy's been on a roll. I think he's going to win. It's going to be soon. Kevin Harvick, 3rd. They can't get out of their own way. If they can do that, they're going to win some races. Brett Keselowski, Denny Hamlin, 5th. And to win this week.
Speaking out of getting out of his own way.
Rowdy Bush. The number 18 car.
That's one driver. I know we don't have long, but that's one driver that really needs a good run. They've had several bad runs.
It's going to happen this week.
So you think, right?
Book it.
Well, wait until he starts running good, and then I'll send a text on how he's running, and then
yeah, you do have a way of shooting the sending out some bad mojo as soon as you start talking good about people on text on Sundays.
It works, especially when you want your guy to win. So, all right, well. I hope you enjoyed this show. We do have Fast Talk coming up. If you didn't enjoy this show, you'll enjoy that show. Who's on Fast Talk?
This week, Doug Rice welcomes Hermie Sadler as his co-host and Furniture Road Racing General Manager Joe Gahorn and Kentucky Speedway General Manager Mark Siemendinger. Yeah, that's close enough. Call in. They also hear from Tony Stewart. So that's coming up next right here on Talk 101.3 The Buzz.
Should be a lot of fun. All right, you've got a great sports weekend coming up. I mean, Tennessee's wearing the grays and playing Florida. You've got New Hampshire that's going down Saturday and Sunday. Make sure you tune in to 101.3 The Buzz, and you can hear PRN's
coverage this week. PRN.
Of the race at Loudoun, New Hampshire. So it's been a great one. Should have a lot to talk about next week, I'm sure. There will be no penalties next week.
Well, I just hope it's a little calmer in here. We're going to have to all sit around sing Kumbaya.
It'll be relax. Good. So, all right, you've listened to another edition of The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3
The Buzz.